turn this on where I can see it. Let's see, are we synchronized with the clock in the back? Okay, we're good. So I just want to preface the message today by saying this is not an original, well, nothing we really do in a sermon is original. We might have a unique take on it, but it's all God's word, and we follow God's word. We don't want to really be coming up with new ideas, so it's not in that. But today I'm basically going along with a sermon that I heard back in Estonia, back in 2022 at the Feast of Tabernacles, and myself and a couple of other speakers all approached the individual who gave this sermon. His name is Mr. Mark Robertson. He's from Australia, so probably not many of you know him. You've probably not heard him speak before. But we were all very interested in the message and said, hey, do you mind if we, you know, plagiarize your sermon or copy it? And he was certainly okay with that, but I want to give him credit. So I'm going to be talking today largely from the notes that I took on a message from Mr. Mark Robertson, and using many of the same scriptures and a lot of the same outline, though it will have some differences. I just don't want anyone to think, so if he sees this, he thinks I'm stealing. I want to give credit where credit's due. But the title of the sermon is A Royal Priesthood. A Royal Priesthood. And today, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about this issue. What is a royal priesthood? Why is it relevant to us? And what does it mean for our future? Because it's a very important subject. It's really our destiny, brethren. And let's just start by looking at what that is and why it's relevant to us. You know, in Hebrews chapters 8 and 9, it talks quite a bit about the formal role of the priesthood. And it tells us that we should pay attention to that role. Let's look at Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. This is a component of our future that is not touched on very much. We don't talk a lot about it. And yet, we really should. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 4, and again talking about the priesthood and talking about our high priest. In the context here, it says, "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things." So here we're finding that priests that existed at the time Christ came as a high priest, that those priests were serving a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For they said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." So we find that there's a pattern here that the priesthood is fashioned after. We find that the priests are serving a copy and shadow of heavenly things. So that means that it's a representation of something that exists in our future, in the kingdom that we are going to be a part of. And this is a type. This is something to point us towards something. Over in chapter 9, verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11, Christ, it says, came as high priest of the good things to come. The good things to come. With greater and more perfect tabernacle made with hands that is not of this creation. So a priesthood is not only serving a copy and shadow of things to come, but as high priest, he came as high priest of the good things to come. So it's something that's in our future, something that is coming to us. It's not something that's going away. So it's something that in that sense is very, very relevant to you and I. Let's look at Exodus 19. Let's look at Exodus 19, because something we don't focus enough on sometimes is what we find here. Exodus 19, verse 5, "Therefore, And of course, this is as they're preparing to go up to the get the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and they're making a covenant with the people. There's judges being appointed, and they're making a covenant with God, saying, you know, if you'll do all these things, then I will bless you, and so on. That's the context here. And in verse 5 of Exodus 19, he says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." Well, we focus on that a lot. "For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests." A kingdom of priests. This is what Israel was to be a type of. And a holy nation. "These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Now, did God change his mind? Is that going away? Let's look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20, what is the real promise to us? And we'll go right down into verse 6. We're in the context here of the resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6, where when the kingdom of God is set up on the earth, says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here's the promise to us, that we shall be priests, a special treasure to God, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Now I'm reading here from the New King James Version. But we see it's not going away. That's something that's important. Something we should be paying attention to. It's literally what God has promised for our future. Is that something that we desire? What is the priesthood? What is it important? Let's see some more information about it. Let's look at Numbers 3. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 6. We find the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 5, says, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him." So the tribe of Levi was being set apart here, sanctified for a purpose of service. "And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the meeting to do the work of the tabernacle." So here, Aaron was the chief priest, and they were going to be serving him, but also the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting. So it says they would be doing the work of the tabernacle. So not only are they doing the work, keeping up the tabernacle and so forth, but they're serving the needs of all the people. Verse 8, "Also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and the needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They're given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to the priesthood." They shall attend to their priesthood. "But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now, behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. And on the day I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord." So God set them apart for a special service. Said, "They shall be mine." Now, to be a part of the priesthood meant a number of things. You were going to be doing all of the service, but it also meant that you weren't going to be receiving the inheritance of the land inheritance that the other tribes received, that others received. Now they would, you can go through the scriptures and you can see they would be given the tithe to take care of their needs because they weren't able to grow foods. They weren't able to raise the poultry and the numbers and the volume that the other tribes were because they didn't have the land to do that. They weren't granted that inheritance. So the tithe was for theirs because they were going to be not serving out on the farm and taking care of their needs in that way, but serving the people and serving God as priest. Let's look at Numbers 18. Numbers 18 and verse 6. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, he's talking here to Aaron, given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So what was the work? What were they to do? We're going to talk a lot about that because it's important to our role coming in God's kingdom as priest, something that we want to be prepared for because that is ultimately what's coming in our future. But they were called to do a work. They were given as a gift to do the work to Aaron and by extension to the people. Let's look at First Chronicles, we're going to let the scriptures here tell the story of our future. First Chronicles 24 and verse 5. Here we find the divisions of the Levites, the divisions of the priest being named and their responsibilities and so forth, so we can glean a little bit from that. 1 Chronicles 24, verse 5 says, thus they were divided by lot, one group as another. For there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of the house of God from the sons of Eleazar, from the sons of Ithamar. And then notice down in verse 19, as it goes through and lists all these divisions, it says, this was the schedule of their service for coming into the house of the Lord according to their ordinance by the hand of Aaron their father, as the Lord, God of Israel, commanded. So we talk often about the priest serving in the tabernacle and serving there, but here we find that there was a schedule for their service. And there were divisions. They cast lot and they created divisions and they came in and served according to a schedule. So they weren't always there. They had an allotted time to come in and serve in the temple and the tabernacle. And they served there and then they went home. They went back to the city, back where everyone else was, where they continued to serve, but not in the actual tabernacle itself, because they were there to serve not only the needs of the tabernacle, moving the furniture, doing the various chores there. But they had responsibilities out in the town and in the city as well. And, if you think about in Luke, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, he was serving, and while he was serving, he lost his voice, of course. He couldn't speak and because of the vision he had. And then we'll just look at it because it just shows us in Luke chapter 1, he was a priest. He was of the tribe of Levi. And in Luke 1, verse 23, so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house. And he wasn't retiring. He just had a schedule for serving, and they would go, the priest would go, and for a time serve. That he didn't have the rest of the year off. Well, he just had a schedule for when his service would be in the tabernacle and when his service would be in the city. So, we see that this was a multi-tiered responsibility. It wasn't just about being a servant only on the Sabbath or only when people come to the tabernacle, only taking care of the needs of the tabernacle. It was involved. There was more involved, because what happened when they went back into the city? What else was going on? What was the role of a priest? It's very different, probably, from the conception that exists today. Now, whenever you think of the priesthood today, based on our modern world and the examples we see out in the modern world, you might think of a guy walking around in long flowing robes and maybe carrying incense and doing whatever that imagery draws up, right? And that's not really the example of a priest that we see in the Bible. There's much, much more to it. And that's why I think it's important to talk about this issue of what is a royal priesthood? What is it going to look like? What does it mean for you and me and our personal responsibilities? Because frankly, when you think about being a royal priesthood, it might not be something that you think about and think, wow, that's really exciting. That's what I want to do for eternity. If you're thinking about a guy walking around in flowing robes, lighting incense and candles all day, you might grow tired of that after a while. And I certainly would. I had a couple of uncles who were ministers out in the some of the Protestant churches when I was growing up, and I was often dragged into those churches as a young boy. And boy, they were the stereotypical hellfire and brimstone preachers, and they would get emotional. They wouldn't sit here and talk to you like this. They'd slam their hand on the table, and they'd yell, and they would get in the microphone, and blah, 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 and you couldn't tell what in the world they were saying. You just knew they were really passionate about it, right? And because they would scream so loud, and they would be sweat coming down, they'd be red-faced, and they'd be really preaching up a storm, but who knows what was being said, because it would just totally distort the audio. And but they were passionate about it. And as a young boy, not really understanding at the time what Christianity was or anything about it, I found it a little bit scary. And then as I grew, I found it a little bit embarrassing. And it stayed with me for many years. And I say stayed with me for even now. I had the vision. I remember whenever I was first ordained as a minister, feeling a bit uncomfortable because I carried with me the baggage of that image of what a minister was. I knew that by that point, obviously, that's not what a minister was, but I still had that emotional attachment, a little bit of embarrassment to seeing that type of carrying on, because in my mind, that's what that role was. And I think probably many of us who've maybe come out of a religious background may have a misconception of what that role is. And I don't want it to be a stumbling block for any of us moving forward when we know that's what's ahead for our role. So let's talk about what the priests do and what that role really is according to the scriptures. It's much more broad. Is it serving in the tabernacle? Absolutely. Is it serving God, serving his people? Absolutely. But there is a lot to that. And it's much more than dressing in robes and carrying incense around, for sure, or for standing up in front of a bunch of people and screaming at them all day. It's actually not that at all. So, first of all, let's turn to Deuteronomy. Back to Deuteronomy. And let's start looking at some of the roles that the priesthood played, and knowing that it's a shadow of things, the good things to come, know that this is a role that may be in our future. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 8, we find, if a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priest, the Levites, to judge there in those days, and inquire of them. And they shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. Have you ever wanted to be a judge? How many of you don't have to, obviously don't raise your hands, but you know, how many of you listen to true crime podcasts or watch, you know, these types of crime dramas and so on, right? Because not because you're interested in crime, but you're interested in the legal aspect and the prosecution and so on. This might be exciting to you. According to the sentence, verse 11 of the law, in which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. This is going to be a responsibility for the priest. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge. That man shall die, and you'll put away the evil from Israel. So, a priest was a judge. It was a judge. He distinguished according to God's law what was right, what was wrong. You know, you remember probably in Exodus 18 where Moses was trying to judge all the matters, and they said, bring out able men, people who are well-versed in God's law, and set them up as judges. They were judging matters according to God's law. So the priesthood, that's one of the roles, one of the responsibilities of the priesthood. Have we ever thought about that role as being part of a priesthood? They were mediators, which means they had to interact with the people. They had to understand all the issues of the day. They had to understand God's law inside and out. They had to be familiar with how those laws and rules applied in all the various aspects of daily life, because they had to make judgments between people. So this might be one of your responsibilities moving forward. Let's look at Deuteronomy 21. They were very involved with the people in this way. Deuteronomy 21, verse 5. And the priest, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. That's the role of a priest. So, judging, being a righteous judge before the people. Now, how many times have we sit back as a, you know, what do they call a, anyway, backseat driver? That's not what I was thinking of, but the quarterback that sits on the couch watching the game, you know, and has all second guesses everything, right? Makes all the judgments about how everything should be. Boy, if I was coaching, they would do this or that. And we look at the politicians and say, man, they've got that messed up. Well, you know what? You're going to have the opportunity to make some choices and decisions that are going to have lasting impact. And if you're selected for this role because you've followed God, and you've learned God's law and his ways, and you've been righteous in your administration of that law, you're going to be able to set some things right finally. It'll be part of your responsibility as part of God's government with Jesus Christ as the king. You'll be part of his royal priesthood. What's another aspect of the priesthood? Let's look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, related to what we've already learned, it says, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." So as a priest, you'll be a teacher. You'll be the one that people come to, especially in the millennial setting. When people are coming out of this world and they are still having to learn and understand what God's way of life is, you're going to be a teacher. They'll come to you for explanation. You'll be the one versed in God's law and have the understanding. So not only will you be making judgments and deciding matters judiciously, but you'll have the opportunity to share God's law and his knowledge until the knowledge of God covers the earth as the waters of the sea. So that's a role. If you've ever wanted to teach, if you are a teacher, I know one, this is going to be a responsibility in the priesthood, that of a teacher. So I think already we're starting to see that there's a lot more probably involved in this role than we maybe think of on the surface if we're viewing it through the lens of the modern day conception of what a priest is. But there's much more. Let's look at Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20, because we want to get a good picture to have a real strong understanding of what this role entails, and one from which we can launch into an even deeper study on our own. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and verse 1. "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, the odds are stacked against you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you're on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. When you're outnumbered, when you're against all odds, when everything looks miserable, desolate, no way forward, the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you.'" So we find here that the priests sort of take the lead. They're the inspiring leaders. They're the ones that bring everything back to perspective. Back into perspective. It's the priests that are called on for that task. And if everything seems to be kind of looking gloom, things seem to be going astray, the priests have that responsibility of stepping in and speaking up, speaking out, and guiding the people back to remember who they serve. Priests are inspiring leaders. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24. You know, that guy that always stands up in the movies at the end and gives the big, long, inspiring speech and suddenly turns the tide and everybody, yeah, cheers. And well, that's you. That's what the priests are to be in God's kingdom. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 17. Here we find, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. Wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but still they would not listen. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. We have a priest, Jehoiada the priest. And he stood above the people, and he said to them, "Thus says God." This time, not an inspiring speech in the same way as the previous context, but here we find him in the role, again, of a leader as a standard bearer, calling people back to the standard, which is God and God's law, the law God governs by. He says, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you've forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you." So as a priest, we'll be standard bearers, leading by example. Whenever everything seems to be against you and everyone wants to go a different direction, when everybody's trying and the whole tide is pulling in an opposite direction, you're the one to stand up and to say, "No." And be the standard bearer, to wave the flag and say, "Come back to God and God's law, God's way of life." That's what a leader does, and that's what is in your future as a priest. And what's even more beneficial in that context is we'll be in God's kingdom at that point in time, so they can't put you to death the way they did this fella. They didn't want to hear what he had to say, and they won't be able to do that after the first resurrection. You'll have power as a standard bearer. The priests, they were a tough bunch. The righteous priest. Now, of course, the physical priesthood became corrupt in many ways. Many of those priests became corrupt and were subject to that. But the righteous priests were a tough group. They had to stand up for what was right. Stand up before kings. Stand up at the risk of their own lives. As a standard bearer, as a leader. And they did, and that's what's in our future. Lead by example. So judge, teachers, inspiring leaders, standard bearers. These are all roles of a priest. Let's look at Leviticus 23. Maybe there's something in there that gets you excited about our incredible future. Leviticus 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, and he should be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair of the sore is turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of the body, it's a leprous sore, and the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." and separate them from the rest of the people. So this is a matter of public health, right? Health inspectors, so to say. All right. There's a lot of, I know after COVID and seeing all the opinions after COVID, there's a lot of people who are interested in public health. Maybe this is something that excites you. We have medical professionals, all in God's body, probably wondering, what in the world will I do as a priest? Well, if you properly understand the priesthood as God outlines it in the Bible, well, there's a lot you've got to do. And your present training is preparing you for a role in the priesthood. So, and of course, all of chapter 13 goes through and it outlines a number of different things. So does chapter 14 when you go down through there. You know, the priests were not only to inspect those bright spots on the skin and boils and burns and other things that dealt with the physical health of people and the population, the general population, to protect the general population from outbreaks and so forth. But it went on. They inspected garments. They inspected buildings to look at mold and various things of that nature that would affect the public health. So health inspectors. Probably not a role you ever really given any thought to when we think of a royal priesthood, but that's a part of it. Man, you can read through chapter 13 and 14 and see all the details there of what the priest's responsibilities were in those regards. But at the end of chapter 14, well, not all the way, well, yeah, at the end, verse 54, Leviticus 14, verse 54, it just kind of summarizes some of it. It says, this is the law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law in this case of leprosy. So that was one of the roles of a priest. As you see all throughout the chapters 13 and 14, the priest was involved with all of these, and one of the responsibilities is, again, to teach. This time in a public health setting, what is okay and what is not okay, essentially, to protect the general population. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. Once again, 2 Chronicles, this time we'll go to chapter 31. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. Maybe public health is not in your background. We do have members of this congregation who've been involved with health care. Maybe you're like me, and business has been your background, a lot of components of business. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 14. Kor, the son of Imnah, the Levite, the keeper of the east gate, was over the freewill offerings to God to distribute the offerings of the Lord and the most holy things. Under him were these other individuals, his faithful assistants in the cities of the priests, to distribute allotments to their brethren by divisions, to the great as well as to the small. Besides those, verse 16, besides those males from 3 years old and up who were written in the genealogy, they distributed to everyone who entered the house of the Lord his daily portion for the work of his service by his division. So we see here a role in finance and accounting, sort of a business background. Someone had to keep up with the inventory. Someone had to distribute it. You know, there's projections made. You know, when you think about this wasn't specific to the priesthood, but when you think about Joseph and the vision he had about, hey, we got to store up for 7 years grain so that we have it. I mean, those are our business projections. And inventory management, things of that nature. And this is, in a different sense, what's going on here in these responsibilities listed in 2 Chronicles 31. Let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13, of course, through his voice in this particular passage. But Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 4. Therefore, Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. So here we find a priest having authority over all the storerooms. So again, sort of an inventory management. It's a business role, essentially, is what you see here. And verse 5, he had prepared for him a large room where previously they'd stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of the grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers, and the offerings for the priest. And down in verse 13 of Nehemiah 13, it says, I appointed his treasurers over the storehouse, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe. So treasurers. Again, so their roles in finance and accounting. Business roles. A treasurer here. I appointed treasurers over the storehouse of Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe. Of the Levites, Pedaiah. Next to them, so on, all these names, for they were considered faithful. Their task was distribute to their brethren. So that was a responsibility of the priesthood, to make sure that distributions were going out as they were supposed to go out, and that people's needs were being met. Again, things that maybe we haven't thought of previously when we're thinking about this role. I want it to be a realization of what this role is, so we can find our place in it, and we can be excited when we find and hear those terms that we're going to be a nation of priests, not to have the modern day conception of what a priest is, but have a biblical perspective and realize what all that entails. I mean, there's a lot going on. And probably most of us, if we think of the modern conception of a priest, we think of our backgrounds, our professional backgrounds, and the things we do in our daily life, and wonder how it would fit into that role. But when we understand it from a biblical perspective, well, now it starts to be clear what God is doing in our lives for many of us. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 5, another way the priesthood was used. 2 Chronicles 5. There's a lot of responsibility in the priesthood. And it is varied. It is diverse. The priesthood is going to be taking care of a lot of things. Many responsibilities to manage God's government under Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 11. It came to pass, when the priest came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions, and the Levites who were with the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. I hope Devin is tuning in and listening. He'll be excited about that. I know when he's tuned in and listening, because I'll get a text message after the sermon about something I messed up. So, verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound and to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, So this is going to be a responsibility of the priest as well. Music, the musicians. Are you musically trained? Do you like to sing? Do you have a good voice? God's got a purpose for you in his priesthood. A huge purpose. You know, and it says they sing the praises of God night and day. Well, I don't think you need to be exhausted. Remember, the priests served they had a schedule for their service. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 9. First Chronicles 9 and verse 33. Again, we find these are the singers, the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties. For they were employed in that work day and night. So that's how important a role the musician and the singer was. That was their responsibility in God's kingdom. They didn't have to engage in the other responsibilities. Their gift was in music, and music's important to God. The singing, the praises of God, and that music, you know, when I think about how it must have been whenever people came to the tabernacle and after David and set it all out, the temple, rather, in Solomon's day, whenever they had all these courses of singers coming in and singing praises regularly around the temple, there would just been full of music whenever you came to visit. And not just small music, but large-scale music, many, many voices. And what an awe-inspiring setting that must have been. Music makes a difference, right? You want to make an event seem special, you add music. And we're going to have people who are masters of that, priests, who will be setting the tone for worship in God's kingdom. Maybe that's your role. Let's go back to verse 22 here while we're in 1 Chronicles 9, because it plays out a number of other responsibilities as well. Some miscellaneous things. For one, it says all those chosen as gatekeepers, and these gatekeepers were priests. The gatekeepers with responsibility over various things, over various departments, as it were, gates in the palace, the temple. All those chosen as gatekeepers, 212, they were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David, Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle by assignment. So these are our priests. Gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, the west, the north, and the south. And their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days, for in this trusted office, the gatekeeper was a very trusted office. That's something God is assigning to his priesthood. In this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and the treasuries of the house of God. Very big responsibilities. Over the treasuries and the chambers of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had that responsibility and they were in charge of opening it every morning. So they were pillars in the temple, you might say. Verse 28, now some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary, over the fine flour. Some of them were over the fine flour and the wine, and the oil and the incense and the spices. So, you know, if you thought of yourself as a wine maker, maybe a wine taster, wine inspector. You know, you like to cook and bake with flour. Make sure you have the finest flour. They like incense and spices. My wife really likes spices. She likes to grow them. I don't think she actually likes them. She doesn't like spicy things, but she likes to grow spice. So, for others to partake of. Some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Verse 31, Mattathiah, the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. You a baker? I've known some bakers in the church. Some chefs who just love the opportunity to serve in that way in God's kingdom and for God's temple. Some of their brethren, the sons of the Kohathites, were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. See, there's a lot of miscellaneous responsibilities as well that you know, we didn't go into in any detail here, but there's a lot of things that the priesthood is going to be in charge of and accountable for. They're going to be their responsibilities, their function, both in the temple, when they're serving their time, and when they're amongst their family and friends out in the city. Because, I mean, let's face it, the responsibility is 24/7. There's never a time that you will not be a priest. You might go home, but you're always a priest. Because you have to be an example. You lead by an example. You're an ambassador of Christ. But there's so many roles and responsibilities within that office that you can fulfill. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 4. Just sort of summarizes some of what we just talked about. The Levites were numbered, and in verse 4, of these 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers. 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments. See, a lot of different responsibility. Imagine 4,000 just for praising God with instruments. So there's a lot of different things, a lot of different roles encapsulated in the priesthood that is to come. The royal priesthood that God wants when he said, I want to make you a special people, a treasure. Brethren, I hope you can get excited about your coming role with a proper perspective of what God is expecting, of what God is calling us to. Don't think of the priesthood the way I did for many years, as some guy wandering around in black robes, you know, never talking to anyone, and you might conjure up the idea of a Buddhist monk or someone like that even. That's not accurate. Neither is the image of the fiery hellfire and brimstone preacher that's screaming so loud no one can understand him. The scriptures lay out an accurate description of the role of a priest and what that entails. And it is so encompassing of so much of what you and I are being trained for and prepared for now in this life. God hasn't made a mistake. You're not going through a lot of things right now in your life and trials and tribulations and training and preparation just so you can walk around with your arms folded in a hot robe. God has meaningful purpose and responsibility in the roles ahead for us. And he's preparing us for it now in this life. We have to learn to be righteous in those assignments, in those roles, and righteous in praising God through song and music and instruments, righteous in our judgments according to God's law, righteous in all that we do, because we're going to represent the very government of God under the kingship of Jesus Christ. That's his royal priesthood. So let's turn to one final scripture to conclude. It's really a reiteration of what we've already found elsewhere. A third time mentioned, as oftentimes things of emphasis are mentioned three times in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Brethren, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.